Palazzo Volpi, a magnificent 16th century 75-room palace on the Grand Canal, was a palace and a half, actually. It had a courtyard garden and grand halls and salons. The lingering presence of one of Italy's most dynamic 20th century figures, Volpi's father, Count Giuseppe Volpi, founder of the Venice Film Festival, creator of Mestre and Marghera, Mussolini's finance minister, the last doge of Venice, could still be felt throughout. The gilt and marble ballroom Volpi had built to commemorate his military victories as the governor of Libya in the 1920s. The full-length oil portrait of Volpi in diplomatic attire, the cannon sitting in the middle of the portico, furniture from the Quirinal Palace in Rome, a signed photograph of King Umberto di Savoy. For years, Palazzo Volpi had been the setting for the glamorous Volpi Ball, which was given every September by Giovanni's mother. But the last Volpi Ball had been 40 years ago, and since then, the palace had remained largely unused, well-maintained, but not lived in. Palazzo Volpi had been off-limits for so long that even the Venetians were curious to see it again. Knowing this, the Guthries made a shrewd political gesture. With Volpi's permission, they invited dozens of Venetians to come to the ball as their guests, including a number of people the cantankerous Volpi would never have invited on his own. Just this once, however, Volpi was delighted to let them come. It was his intention to demonstrate that no one could be frozen out of Venice just because certain clowns decreed it. If welcoming Venetians into his palace enabled him to rub their noses in that fact, so much the better. On the evening of the ball, the windows of Palazzo Volpi were brightly lit for the first time in recent memory. An armada of motor launches pulled up at the Watergate, and hundreds of guests in evening gown and black tie alighted, dozens of Venetians among them. The significance of the Volpi Save Venice Ball was understood well beyond the walls of Palazzo Volpi. It was, in fact, very clear to Larry Lovett, whose dinner party on his terrace was taking place that very night. It was widely assumed that the sole purpose of Lovett's party was to upstage Save Venice and deprive it of some of its Venetian guests. It was assumed also that Lovett had stressed business attire for his dinner to prevent his guests from going directly from his party to Palazzo Volpi without first going home to change into black tie. His friends conceded that, for Lovett, this dinner party was a rare faux pas. Others saw it as a display of infantile spite that proved, once and for all, that Lovett was more concerned with his own prestige and prominence than with preserving Venetian art and architecture. None of that mattered to Giovanni Volpi. While Peter Duchin played dance music in his father's ballroom and Bobby Short crooned his songs upstairs, Volpi stood at the edge of his courtyard garden, apart from it all, as usual. "I don't know," he said. "Save Venice, Venetian heritage, what's the difference? When you get right down to it, they're both really just glorified package tours. I don't know why Americans can't come to Venice and just have a good time instead of coming here and beating their breasts. You know what I mean? It's this thing of having to come here on a mission. Why must they come to Venice to save it? It's nice, of course, the money they give, but it doesn't have anything to do with generosity. It means they want to look important. And really, it's just a drop in the ocean. They should come and have a good time, period, right? Walk around, see some paintings, go to some restaurants like they do in other cities. Americans don't go to Paris to save Paris, do they? Right? When you see a 500-year-old Venetian building, it may be a bit shabby and possibly even in danger, but you can't describe it as decaying. It has endured 500 years. The decaying Venice is all a big myth. That's what I mean about Save Venice. Forget it. Venice will save itself. Go save Paris."